when Jesus was scourged and nailed to that cross, what was going on in heaven? What was heaven like when God turned his back on his own son? The angels did not know, I don't think, what was going on there. I don't think anyone in heaven knew what was going on. It was a mystery hidden in God. I don't think there was this loud declaration, my son's going to the cross. I don't think that was there. I don't think heaven knew what was going on until he rose from the dead. But what was the atmosphere like in heaven? I was just thinking about that a while ago. I don't know. Was it all quiet? Was there a lot of sorrow in a place where there has never been sorrow? Probably. But what about the 3 days? Was there quiet? I mean, time is not the same in heaven. There's an absence of time. But for that period, what was going on? What was the Father doing? I wonder. It's something to meditate on and think about, and maybe the Holy Spirit sometime will reveal to us. But here's the Son. He's in hell where he's not supposed to be, as far as they're concerned. This is the one that walked with us in heaven here. We've seen him since the beginning he's been here. We don't know why he went even. We just know he went because of man. Why? And now, did his mission fail? He's on the cross. He's in hell. I was thinking about it one time, and I was thinking that was probably the time that he was in hell was probably the quietest time the earth has ever had. I think every demon there is was there. And they were all there. I don't know that, but it's just my own opinion. But all of heaven is watching this scene, not knowing what's going on. The Father knew. But it wasn't guaranteed that it would even work, except that it was the Father's idea. More than an idea, a desire and word. But I don't think he said anything to anybody. Can you hear the quiet? Wondering back and forth, listening to one another, thinking about, why is he there? He can't get out of there. How's he going to? Hell's eternal. I mean, here's that heart of love in the Father is so extreme. But yet he couldn't say anything. He couldn't reach down there and say, son, I don't want you to do that. He couldn't do that. Not with us in his eyes and his heart. I just think that's not my message today. I was just thinking about that. So something for you to think about and meditate on. Because I think the Holy Spirit will start revealing bits of that. Because it's all connected. It's all connected. Today we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And I was thinking about that too. When he come up out of the grave after heaven saw all of that going on and not knowing what was going on. What do you think it was like in heaven when they saw him come up? I mean, it says all of heaven rejoiced when one sinner gets saved. What do you think was going on in heaven when they saw him come out of there? Because they didn't know he was coming out, I don't think. The Father knew. I don't know what was. It wasn't quiet, I can tell you that. It wasn't quiet in heaven when he come up out of that grave. We have a lot to rejoice for about today. Well, whether we're born again or not, I think in this season we at least have an idea what Easter's about. I think we kind of know whether we're born again or not that there's more to Easter than an Easter bunny and eggs and cookies and a good meal. There's just more to it than that. We may not believe in God, but we know there's something different about this day. Well, how do we see the cross? That was a question that God asked me. We're going to look at some of my best sermons are questions that God shows me. He just asks me a question and leaves me hanging. You know, I'm sure he's done that to you too. He's asked a question and left you hanging with it. Answer it. You know, so we're going to look at some questions today. Well, we need to ask ourselves how we see the cross. We may know about the cross, we may have read about the cross, but sometimes we just need to get somewhere by ourselves and just ourself and God and just meditate on the cross. How do we see it? What is it? Why? Do we see? Some will say in the world, you know, they'd say, well, the cross is just a myth. Some would say it's foolishness or something to ridicule or scorn or laugh at. Some would say it's just a symbol of a cult. There's people out there that way. They know about the cross. They know about Easter. But that's how they see it, as a cult. Some are totally indifferent, totally about the cross. They don't care either way. They think, well, that was 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with me? Well, it's got everything to do with us. Time and eternity was changed. Heaven and hell was changed. The cross is a dividing line between time and eternity. It's everything. Everything come to focus there on the cross. Well, hopefully we see, when we think of the cross, we see the agony and the shame and the scourging and the death that Jesus suffered on the cross, bearing all of the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. Hopefully that's what we see. We see an empty cross and an empty tomb and Jesus risen from the dead. But it's sad so many people still got him on the cross. He's not there anymore. Praise God, he's not there anymore. Do we see salvation, healing, deliverance, communion with God, joy, peace, and all that the cross purchased for man? Do we see the great love of God for man when we look at the cross? We should focus on the scourging and the death, but not live there. We should focus on the risen Savior, the one that bore my sin and the sins of all mankind, took him in the guise of sin. The Amplified says he put on the guise of sin or a disguise. He had to wear our sin in there because he could not get in there otherwise. The Holy Spirit could not be with him when he went. When God turned his back on Jesus, the Holy Spirit departed. He was alone. Period. He was wearing that sin as a robe. He carried it and bore it into hell, and then he dealt with it there and left it there. Praise God. That's the story of the cross. Then God spoke. And the Holy Spirit went in there and he got born again in hell itself and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we see that? The great love of the Father. I think that's why there was such, I believe, quiet in heaven. Not a reverential quiet, but an uncertainty of what is going on. God has never failed before. Has Jesus failed? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and then 23 and 24. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. How do we see the cross? It makes a difference how we see and view the cross. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We said so many times today, Jesus is not dead. He's alive forevermore, praise God. His purpose is found in 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He did that. He completely and totally destroyed the devil in hell. He triumphed over him. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Hallelujah. That he might bring to us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Romans 6:10, for The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. We have to do that. Reckon yourselves to be dead to indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. That's who we are right now. Not going to be, we already are, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're His children. Jesus came to bring new life. He came to set the captives free. Well, I'm not captive. You know, one thing the Jews said, they said, we've not been in bondage to anyone. We're Abraham's seed. And they were in bondage at the time they said that. They had been in bondage for hundreds of years. They didn't know it. They knew it, but they wouldn't accept it. That's why Jesus came, to set the captives free. Luke 4:18 and 19, we see the reason he was sent. Jesus himself said what his mission was. Luke 4:18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then we find in John 17 that Jesus said, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. As thou hast sent me, even so I have sent them. And he said, I'm not praying for these alone, but for all who will believe on me through their word. Do you know that same commission is ours? Exactly the same commission. And if we, the church, we're not doing that in our daily, moment-by-moment, individual lives, and in a church corporately, we're not doing our purpose. We're not doing our mission, what we've sent. When he said, go into all the world, this is what he said to do. I could read this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Michael, because he hath anointed Michael to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Michael to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Michael's assignment. Michael better be doing it in my daily life. That's what the cross is all about. He came that we might have life, that we might go. Jesus came to bring reconciliation between God and the Father and mankind. New life in Christ Jesus. That is what the cross is all about. New life. 2 Corinthians 5:18. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us. Who needs to be reconciled? Somebody that's separated. You got two people at odds with one another. You got two countries or two states or two business, whatever it may be. They're at odds because they are separated. So we needed to be reconciled back to God. I can't just make that decision to be reconciled. I'm not the one that was wronged. He is. We stepped away from Him. He didn't step away from us. He's still where He's always been. We needed to come back to Him. But there was no way back. No one could pay the price. There was thousands upon thousands of crosses. And all of that blood, we look at all the blood of the bulls and goats, those two. But all the people that were crucified, just like Jesus was, not one of them could pay the price, and neither could all of their blood put together pay the price. They couldn't even pay their own price. But the blood of this one man, a righteous man, the just for the unjust. He saw the hurting, the lonely, the afflicted. Every step that Jesus took in his life from his birth, including his birth, was towards that cross. Every step was a love step. Every step was an anointed step. Every step, every moment had a purpose. Every step he saw people, he saw into their hearts, where they are, where they lived. He hurt when they hurt, but he knew he had an answer. He was the answer. And he knew he had a place to go. He was never without that. Never a moment was he away from his mission. But what did he say? He said, I only do the works that my Father does. He does them through me. I only say what he says. I only do what he does. So what are we actually seeing when we see Jesus walking through that life of his, not in his Godhead, but in his manhood, sinless man? As he's walking, what do we see? We see the Father walking. We see the Father's heart through Jesus. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to be those light to the world. It's our turn to shine the heart of the Father. That's why he put his precious Spirit within us, so that we could show his life the way Jesus did. That's our mission. That's why that's so important in Luke 4:18 and 19, to know what our mission is through the eyes of the Father. There is nothing more important than this. Absolutely nothing. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. There we see it. That by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Harmony means we're flowing as one. We're a unit. You can't see where one is and the other separates. We are walking as one. That's what Jesus prayed, that we be in harmony with one another and with him. It was God, and I love the way the Amplified says this, it was God personally present in Christ. He's personally present in us. He was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration to favor to God. It's no secret that frustration, anger, depression, fear, worry, terror, all kinds of evil are all around us. There's a hurting world out there, but it's sad to say that these same things that I've just mentioned exist in the church. A place where they should not be. There should be no fear, no worry, no depression, no anger, no resentment, no self-centeredness in the church. It should not be there. If it is there, we're abnormal, because we are the love walk of God. We're the love children of God. We're supposed to walk in that, and that covers all of that. Where love is, none of that exists. Fear doesn't exist. Depression doesn't exist there. If we've got a problem with those things, it's because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're not spiritually minded. We're carnally minded. Like the prophet said, we have to see through that cross the freedom that has been purchased for us. It's real, it's truth, and we really are free indeed, even if we don't know that. One of the saddest things, every time I teach on something like this, I see Andy Griffith show with Otis. Otis walked into that jail because he was drunk. And he reached over and got those keys, unlocked the cell and stepped in, locked it and hung the keys back up. Because the keys were right next to the door. Anyway, there's so much in that. How many of us walk the same walk all the time? We're constantly walking in fear, worry, and terror and depression. The keys are right there. We locked ourselves up. Jesus opened the door and flung it open, but we locked it back up again. All we got to do is reach the keys. There within, he didn't even have to reach way over. The peg was right there where the keys were. Some kind of jail, huh? You know, they didn't even look up at him hardly, but say, hi, Otis. And he put himself in there, and he'd get drunk again, put himself right back in there. Is that not where we live? I think we do, don't we? All around us, there's people that are searching, seeking a new life. People needing to be reconciled to God. There's people in the church that need to be reconciled to God. And I'm not talking about people that are not born again. I'm talking about people that are born again. They don't know who they are in Christ. They They don't know what that cross was about. They've either not been taught or don't do anything other than just come to church. They don't look or set their eyes and their heart on God. That's our job, to show them. We need to be teaching them and bringing them in and encouraging them and lifting them up and showing what it is to walk a free life, being free indeed. Because if they know Him as Savior, they are free indeed. I've got a list of questions here that the Father gave me some time back, but I kind of brought them into this message because I think it's something that we may not be there. We may have at one time answered these questions and said, well, I've been there. That's me. Or you may be there right now. You may be saying, that's me. You may have hidden it and covered it up and not done anything about it, but it's who you are in the secret place of your heart. Or you know somebody that is there. You know someone that is right there. They may be a husband, a wife, a child. It may be a mom or dad or somebody that is living this. And if you haven't been there, pray that you never get there. But you may know somebody that is. So there are points of meditation, points of searching our own hearts, questions we need to ask ourselves, because as the prophecies have said, and as our song has said, and as God's been saying to this church for a long time, we got to start being real. Now, and quit playing games. If we're going to be that answer to the world, if we're going to shine as this light to the hopeless and the hurting, we have to have these areas taken care of in our own life. We have to be honest with ourselves. And it's so sad many of us are not honest with ourselves. Or we've hurt so long, we've just buried it. So let's think about these. Like I say, it may not apply to you, but maybe you have lived there or know somebody. The first question is, are you seeking a new life? Have you gone so far that you want something different? You're not satisfied. Paul said, hey, I'm satisfied. You know, he was okay with his circumstances. But we need to be satisfied with our life. Have you been searching everywhere for something that is real? Many of us sitting in church today are looking for something real. We haven't realized the real, genuine truth of the word. Brother Samuel in the prophecy said that this morning. We won't really believe his word. If we believe his word, we'd be responding differently. So as we look at these questions, let's be real with them. Have you had such an emptiness inside that it seems that nothing and no one can fill it? Have you searched everywhere for help and found none? Are you wrapped up in drugs, alcohol, adultery, pornography, or other sins that have you tightly bound with no apparent way out? Is your life full of bondages of fear and worry and depression? Are you carrying the cares, weights, and hurts of the past that haunt you wherever you go? Are you full of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness? Or maybe you're the one seeking to be forgiven. Are you full of regret, trapped in your past with no apparent way out? Have you been saying, so many people have hurt me and used me. If only I could get away from these hurts and memories of the past. Everywhere I go, they seem to come back to me. Or maybe you're on the other side saying, I have hurt so many people and caused so many to fall and stumble. I have ruined my life and their life. If only there was some way to make all these hurts and problems I have go away. Are you crying out inside, is there anyone out there that really loves me just as I am? I'm so lonely and hurt. Are you saying with your heart, I have gone as far as I can go? Is there anybody, anywhere, that can help me? If only I could be free. Are you struggling with your health or finances? Has a doctor told you there is no hope for you. You know, we think, well, that's not me. But I can tell you something. You know somebody that's there. Or you've encountered somebody that's there. Maybe you were there. Hopefully you would not say that's me right now. Because we do tend to wear false faces. We tend to cover ourselves up. But God sees the heart. He knows the depths of everything that we've ever done or ever will do. And He loves us. That's what the cross is about. He paid for that. Through His eyes, we're already free. Already free. No matter how big the hurt, no matter how heavy the burden, no matter how far down you have gone, there is still help available for you. There is one who can make a way where there is no way. There is someone real who does love you just as you are. He can raise you up and restore your life and joy. He can give you rest for your soul. Whatever the need or problem, Jesus is the answer. That's really all that's required. Turn away from the hurts and all those things that separated you from your Father. Just turn your eyes on Him. I can guarantee you it will turn dim the things and problems and issues that you have. Hebrews 12:2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before Him, the joy. You know what He saw? Me. And He saw you. And He saw all of hurting mankind, past, present, and future. And He saw Himself sitting at His right hand of His Father, interceding for us. And He saw the family of God coming together. He saw a place where there's no fear, no worry, no depression. That wasn't a fable to Him. It's where He comes from. That's where He wants us to be. Hallelujah. Jesus and only Jesus is the answer. Jesus and only Jesus can give us a new life. It's what the cross is all about. If we simply come to Jesus, come with all of our hearts just as we are, we give Him all of the ashes of our life, He can take those ashes and make them into something beautiful. I've had a lot of ashes in my life. A lot of things that have or will burn up. But only those things which are of the Father, only those things where we walk in love will remain. He can take all of those hurts that I've had in my life, whatever, wherever I am in that list that I talked about earlier, He can take those things, and now they can be a testimony. Now I can say I was there. I was there, but I'm not no longer. Because I met the one who understands. Hallelujah. In John 10:9, He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. Matthew 11, we hear the heart cry of Jesus. Come unto Me. It's a cry from the depths of the heart of God. He didn't say, I'm going to drag you here. You don't change. No, He said, come unto Me. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take My yoke upon you, or My way of life, upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and reconciliation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, notice that part, because that's where we have to live. Abide means live. If you abide in me, and if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That says, I'm free indeed. The old man, if I fall in any of those lists or whatever it may be that I mentioned earlier, that's the dead man. That's the old man. He's dead. I've been raised again. You know, Jesus had the pathway of his life to the cross, the garden to the cross, the scourging, the death on the cross, and into hell, and then he raised from the dead. We don't have to go that path. It's like a railroad, you know, when you've got this railroad and a skeet knows, he's a railroad man. That train goes where the tracks go. And without Jesus, the tracks of our life lead to hell. But there was a sidetrack. He threw the switch. You know what happens when you throw the switch? You don't go the way that train goes. You take the sidetrack. We bypass hell. Isn't that awesome? Because of Jesus and the resurrection, we bypass hell. Proceed to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're free indeed. Ephesians 2. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor, and mercy, which we did not deserve, that we are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers in Christ. This is the message of the cross. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. He who believes in him, clings to, trusts in, and relies on him is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence. Because he has not believed in, trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God, he is condemned for refusing to let his trust be in Christ's name. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, you abide in me, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed.
Every church, there's people who will hear this message Amen. For the first time.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a lot of churches just close around here. But this is the day of celebration throughout the world. Wherever Jesus' name is named, we rejoice. And I want to pray. I know everybody in here saved. I know we are. But I want to pray to close this message for everybody in every church who might say, Brother Michael, I want to be free indeed today. If you can find a way to hold hands with each other, I'm going to read this prayer. And we can recommit our lives to Jesus, right? We can do that every single day. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I know you won't cast me out, but you take me in, and I thank you for it. You said in your word, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am calling on your name, so I know that you have saved me now. You also said, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, and that's what we believe, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead for my justification. And I confess him now as my Lord, because your word says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and I do believe with my heart.
I do believe it.
And I have now become the righteousness of God in Christ, and I am saved. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Free indeed.
I pray today that each and every one of us and whoever we encounter in our life by divine appointments or to go through life, that each and every one of us, that will ring in our ears. We're free indeed. No matter what the hurt is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what they're going through around us, we're free indeed.
Amen.
Free indeed.
Hallelujah.
The price has been paid. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.